Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Pastor Gareth is away, and for those that were here last week, he started on the Beatitudes, and then he asked me if I would speak today, and would you believe he gave me persecution? Don't you love him? Bless him. Living the kingdom way. And the title of my message today is Standing Strong in Faith. You know, last week Gareth brought out that we're ambassadors for him. We are his ambassadors. Youth, you are his ambassador. You are his representative to this world. That's an important role. And I shared with the earlier group, there's an old saying that we're the only Bible that a lot of people read. You know, we can say millions and millions and millions of words, but people watch what we do. And they're not interested in what we say, but they're interested in how we live. I remember as a young mum, I had these three incredible young men, and the world, when they were born, it's nothing like it is today. But I remember thinking to myself, wow, Lord, I brought these three boys into this world. And I took on the responsibility of bringing them up in the ways of God. I had no influence on the world around me, but I had influence on the sphere that God had me in for such a time as that. And I want to encourage you this morning that wherever you're at, high school, uni, mums, dads, spiritual mums, spiritual dads, teachers, wherever God has you, wherever workplace that he has you in, we need to be his ambassador. And 5:1 tells us, and seeing the multitude, he went up to the mountain. When he was seated, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Don't you love it? We don't get saved and we're left. We get saved and we're taught. We're like clay in the potter's hands, a work in progress. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Here Christ sets forth a perfect standard of righteousness demanded by the law. Matthew 5:48 tells us, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father who was in heaven is perfect. You know, the heart of Jesus is that we grow in maturity. You know, Jesus never, ever, ever lets us stagnate. As long as I've walked with the Lord, he's always growing me. He wants us to be true disciples of Jesus, always about the Father's business. You know, I was sitting at my desk recently and the Lord was challenging me about something I needed to get right in my life. And I remember saying to him, oh, aren't I there yet? I'm my age and God's still challenging me about stuff I need to get right. Reminds me of that Shrek movie where the donkey's sitting in the back saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I was sitting there feeling like that donkey in the back of the car. Are we there yet? Called the blessed sayings. You know, Gareth looked at the first four last week and he's asked me to do verses 10 to 12, bless him. And we're going to read through them again. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, a lot of times we have a wrong understanding of what persecution is. I've heard people say, you know, I'm sick because I'm being persecuted for my faith. That's not right. If there's sickness, then we ask for healing. I've heard people say, you know, I've got these people fighting with me and there's all this conflict and everything, and they justify it by saying, well, I've got to be persecuted. No, you need to pray for reconciliation. You need to pray for restoration of relationships. You know, I want to share a little story. Many years ago, I had a wrong understanding of what persecution was. And my husband was the worship leader in our church, and we were off our way to a prayer meeting. We lived in Exmouth. Exmouth was home. We had a cyclone coming, but cyclones were just part of our life. They didn't stop us from going to prayer meetings or church. And I had my son Daniel was about two, and I had a baby, Joel, who was, I can't remember how many months, that handsome bald guy up the back there. But anyway, I'd put Daniel in the car. Peter and I had this arrangement that he would get ready for the prayer or the worship, whatever God was getting him to do, and I would worry about the kids. And whenever we always used to know that if he was leading something, the old enemy was getting in. So we just set up a plan, and the plan worked for our family. And I put Daniel in the car, and the wind caught the front door of our house. And now I was racing in to get Joel to put him in the baby seat, and the wind caught the door and slammed the door, and it moved the glass in our door. We had this horrible front door with this glass that was just, we were going to get a better one. But anyway, as I was getting so stressed, we were going to be late. But that wasn't what persecution is. I'm going to tell you this morning what persecution is. In the Bible, persecution is mistreatment of a person or group of people based on their religion. Any hostility experienced as a result of one's identification with Christ. Persecution is restrictions, pressure, discrimination, opposition, disinformation, injustice, intimidation, mistreatment, marginalization, oppression, intolerance, infringement, violation, being ostracized, hostilities, harassment, abuse, violence, ethnic cleansing and genocide. Physical persecution is taking of a life or maiming a body. This is heavy stuff. This is why Gareth didn't do it. Social persecution, making someone or a group an outcast. Mental or spiritual persecution, not permitted to preach or teach about God, going underground because of your faith. Pretty heavy stuff, hey? History shows many, many, many Christians who were persecuted for their faith. Just have to read about Stephen, to read about Paul, read about Elisha, read about Elijah, read about the disciples. Only one of the disciples didn't have a horrific death. Crazy. Jesus persecuted for us. I read this week Christians that were martyred for their faith over the many years. Horrific, horrific stuff. You know what? We need to read it. We need to know about it. These are our brothers and sisters. We need to be praying for them. We need to be uplifting them. You know, I drive to work at Myrie in the mornings, and I listen to Sunshine, and they're taking donations for children who aren't getting food because of their faith. You know, persecuted families going through horrific stuff. I read this week the World Watch List for 2024. Brothers and sisters, imagine going home today and you've lost your house. You know, you've lost the things that are precious to you. I want to encourage you today, we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters who are standing for him. This is what persecution is. Persecution is serious. This is devastating stuff. I could go on and on and on. John 15:20 tells us, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." We need to be challenged afresh today. We need to go home today and be on our knees for our brothers and sisters. You know, I was listening to a podcast this week and it was speaking about we need to position ourselves. And I thought, well, this is really interesting. What does this mean? We need to position ourselves. John 15:4-5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more than ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." You know, I pray for people at the altar, and a lot of the times I'll say to them, "Are you in the Word? Are you praying?" Brothers and sisters, if we don't have it inside of us, we can't give it out. Challenge this year. We need to have him inside of us. Youth, this has been an incredible camp. But go home. Let him consume you. Get into his word. Get into his word. Imagine reaching for his purpose this year. Launching out for him. Wouldn't it be fantastic today if we went home and said, "Lord, I'm going to launch out for you." We need to be tied to the source. Source that is all that is good. If he is not in us, we can't give him out. We must always prioritize our dependency on him. And Gareth brought that out amazing last week and I wrote it down and I know it, but we've got to remember it. We need to be dependent on him. Pray to a God who took their dad. You know, sometimes the people that are the closest to us can do the most damage, but we need to stand strong. And I just want to say that when I missed church for a little while after my husband died because I was hurting so bad, he said, "If you go to church next Sunday, I'll come with you." He didn't want me to lose my faith. So God is using us. God is using us. We need to be that example. I want to share a little testimony about my experience with going through persecution a little bit. As a lot of you know, I work in the nation's finance office and I have now for about 7 years. But before that, I worked for a huge company in the city for about 8 years. And for the first 7 years, it was the best job in the world. I'd get a train every day and devoured books, had my own office, incredible money, great team. My boss was the nicest lady. After about 7 years, she said, "It's time for us to retire." They'd been running it for about 30 years and they were tired. And they sold it to a plastic surgeon and he came over with a huge team. And the whole building had to be renovated because there was quite a few of us. And they brought over a senior tax accountant and he became my boss. We had the most incredible relationship. He was the same age as my boys, Gay, and we were in cubicles next door to each other. And the Lord told me the job to me was a mission field. I looked for any opportunity to talk about the Lord. And I had my plaque on my desk and all my scriptures around my computer. And any opportunity, I would let it be known that I was a Christian. And this young man, he became my boss and we were next to each other. And God just said, "Love him." And I just loved him. He knew that I was a Christian. And he used to tell me about the struggles of being gay. You know, his dad was a cray fisherman and totally rejected him. And then he'd been sent down to a boarding home in a boys' school and went through a hell of a time there, and he just used to share. And I just used to love him and listen. There was no judgment, only God can judge. And I embraced this young man and just loved him. And we used to get a book club once a month, and he came around one day and he said, Jen, he said, you go and see the Bibles. They've got these lovely Bibles. Your grandkids will love them. And my grandkids all had Bibles, but I went and bought 5 Bibles just because he said that it would be good. I said, this is not going to get to me. I'm okay. I'm Jesus's kid. Anyway, they, of course, won the vote. And the office just erupted and went crazy, and they're running around with these flags, and then they all went to the gay bar to celebrate for lunch. And I was thinking, wow, I feel very, very isolated. It wasn't easy. I'd be lying if I said it was easy. And also came over a business executive, and she hated me from the word go, hated me, made it very, very obvious. I'd say good morning, grunt at me, did not like me at all. Overnight, we changed our finance program, and she kept pressuring me to learn this new program, Zero. Overnight, we went from paper to paperless. Her office was right in front of the computer, and the printer. Every time I went to print something, she was up there attacking me. And she would send photos all hours of the day saying, you know, this is under your desk, it's not good safety. But because of the huge renovations, there was nowhere for me to put the confidential stuff, so I had it in a row under my desk. And then one time I had to scan all the receipts for reimbursements, and this tiny receipt for $20 didn't scan. She wouldn't sign it off. If it was me, I would have just wiped it, but she said, no, I want that receipt. We had these massive big drums, and I went in one Saturday for hours and just went through these big drums. The receipt was nearly at the bottom, and the paper was up near the passage wall. It was just, and I was thinking, there's nothing rational in this. This is absolutely crazy. Anyway, the next week I went into work, and the accountant was waiting, and he never got in before 9 o'clock. And I said to him, I laughed. I said, what are you doing here? And he said, Jen, you have to go home. And I said, what do you mean I have to go home? He said, you have to go home. I said, is this a joke? I said, why? He said, I'm not allowed to say anything. He said, you have to come back for a meeting 10 o'clock on Friday. I walked out. I felt sick. I had absolutely no idea what was going on. I rang my brother. My brother is a senior accountant at the Water Authority, and he's also majored in law. I rang him. He said, Jen, I'll be at the front of the building at 10 o'clock. He walked in with me. We didn't know what was happening. She pointed a finger at this business executive. It was all her doing. She pointed the finger at my brother and said, you are to sit and you are not to say a word. You don't speak to my brother like that. But because of respect for his big sister, he didn't say a word. She just attacked my character. I sat there. I chatted about why he was there later, and that was fine. But they disappeared for about probably, I don't know, it seemed like half an hour, probably wasn't that long. And my brother looked at me and said, Jen, this is because you're a Christian. I hadn't thought about it. Absolutely hadn't even entered my thinking. They came back. She said, you can go home, come back on Monday. And I went home feeling absolutely sick. The next Monday, I didn't get the train. I drove my car because physically I just was pretty broken and started heaving. Went to the doctors, got in, which was an absolute miracle. She said, giving you a week off. And then I went back the next week, started heaving in the car again, rang Simon. Simon said, go home, Jen. And went straight to the doctors, got straight in, which was an absolute miracle. And she said, Jen, if you don't quit this job, it's going to kill you. I was the only wage in my house. Joel and Em and their family were living with me at the moment at that time, and I thought, well, I can't depend on them. You know, they could have, but I didn't want to. That wasn't their place. I wanted to have my own income. And I rang up my big boss and resigned, and thinking, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do now? You know what? Persecution feels personal. But we need to remember, they're attacking the author of truth when we are attacked for standing for him. John 15:18-19 says, If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, there the world hateth you. It's an oxymoron, isn't it? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others devile you. How is it a blessing to be attacked when you've done something wrong, nothing wrong? How is it a blessing to be isolated? I was isolated. I felt lonely and isolated. I'd like to say that it was okay, but it wasn't. It was taking its toll. I was being bullied. I felt like I was being treated differently, and I was. We need to be praying for those in our world who are being persecuted. It's not an easy place to be. This is not our home. We're going home. For great is our reward in heaven, Matthew 5:12. I just want to finish that story. Joel and Emma, who were living with me, went to Bible study that night, or maybe the next night, I can't remember. And the lady in the Connect group said to him, "We need someone in Nation's finance office. Do you know of anyone who needs a job?" And I rang him the next day. The finance program that I had to get the diploma in that I was getting bullied into getting finished, I didn't use it for that company. When I moved over to Nations, they'd just gone from my job to zero, and no one had knew how to use the program, and I had to teach the team. Payroll was done off campus, and because I knew how to do payroll in zero, I brought it on campus and saved Nations money. So God had a plan. But I also want to say, Anne-Marie, the lady who I think persecuted me, a little while later her husband went up behind her while she was sitting at a study desk, shot her twice in the head and killed her, and then killed himself. And then they went into COVID, and at the college where I worked they had hundreds of students, and everything was contact with facials and masseurs and plastic surgery and the whole thing, and it all got closed down. I don't know how long. I was curious, but then the Lord said to me, "Jen, that's gone." And I never ever looked into it. We need to be challenged, don't we? My challenge to you today, and I'm going to get our incredible worship team to come up. We need to be about the Father's business. There's a cost. There's a cost. You're going to be lonely. You're going to be isolated. You're going to be treated differently, I know. You know, but I want us to focus also on the countries in the world where families are getting tortured, where their children are going hungry. Sometimes I listen to this when I'm driving to Murray in the morning and I think, if someone was holding a gun to one of my precious grandchildren, would I deny him? You might think, well, I wouldn't, but we don't know. Peter denied Jesus. He said, "I won't deny you," but he did. Brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you today. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters. We need to be praying for those who are faithful. But I'm going to challenge you in the room today. Brothers and sisters, let's look for every opportunity we can to talk about him, to shine for him. God wants us. You know, God needs us. We need to be vessels full of him that he can use. This is an ugly, dark world. I shared with earlier group that I went to high school with a young lady all through high school, and my high school years were horrific. I'm not going to go into that. But one day I went to a conference. She was on the front row and I went up to her and said, "Oh my gosh, when did you get saved?" She said, "Jenny, I grew up in a Christian home." And I thought, wow, you could have made such a difference in my life. Brothers and sisters, let's be about his business. Let's be ambassadors for him. Ambassadors for him. You know, there's been people who have been praying in this house for many, many years. I've only been 20 years. But We've been praying that this house would be a safe place, a refuge, a place of healing, a place of salvation, a place for the wounded. Brothers and sisters, let's be about his business. Let's not focus on the things that aren't important. Youth, I want to encourage you. Camps are incredible, but don't lose that spark. Get out. Let's be people who are about his business, because he's got a lot to do and he needs a motley crew like us. He's a good God. I got saved when I was 17. I've never regretted it. I've walked with him till today, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But he's a friend that sticks closer than we will ever understand. It's not always easy, but better to be difficult with him than easy without him. I'm going to get everyone to close their eyes. There's a lot in this room I don't know. But I want to encourage you today, if you don't know him, don't waste another day. Don't be that silly. He can give you a life that is so much better than living without him. I'm not promising it's going to be a chocolate-coated life, but better to walk this life with him than without him. He is a good God.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.